We kind of have turned the page now to this Washington game, but from the Gardo side of things, can I just say this? I don't always love to be pandered to. I don't always love, you know, like we joke a lot about the gets us meter in this town. And that being said, Stephen Kwan wrote a letter to Guardians fans. And I'm not going to surmise it here. You can guess what it is, but it's talking about how October's still our month, basically. And it basically, the vibe was, it was Jake Taylor from Major League One. I guess we got one thing left to do, and that's win the whole effing thing. And I got to say, he shattered the gets us meter, and I am quite ready for playoff baseball on Saturday.
Well, and I'm surprised that you're not crying about this, because this was a heart-wrenching moment for me, too, because as a former player, this is what you live for. You die to once you play playoff baseball. And for Kwan, as a rookie, he got to do that immediately with Terry Francona. And I think the biggest thing when you read this story and this letter about from Kwan, it does. It resonates wholeheartedly. Opening day is great. Your name gets announced. It's awesome, right? The crowd's going nuts. But when it gets to playoff baseball in October, it's dial it up 10 times.
And what makes this Guardians team... Listen, the Cavs are a bunch of good dudes, too. I think the Browns are a bunch of good dudes. There's just a couple people that are a little bit that might have fans feeling some sort of way, specifically Deshaun. But I mean, they're the most polarizing team in town right now. And I'm not trying to say that to slag them. What I'm trying to say is this Guardians team is just super easy to root for with the way they love each other. And that's, I mean, I know Vogt said that 100 times, but you can see it with their celebrations and how excited they are. You know, Naylor standing on second base. Was it Manzardo that hit the home run? Yeah, it was Manzardo hits a home run. You get to see the reaction of Naylor. Like, that stuff's real. And here's the other thing. There's just no expectations. So the purest thing you can do, he's come into a season with no expectations. A team gets hot, plays great baseball, and goes so far above and beyond because expectations often, and we saw this with the Cavs this year, Cavs didn't meet expectations because it was a struggle in the Orlando series, and then you got bounced out in 5 games against Boston. And there was a response of, I thought you could do a little bit more, right? I thought the path for you was a little bit easier, and there were some other reasons with that. So, like, a fair amount of us didn't really enjoy the Cavs' success this year because it was like, well, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. With the Guardians, we're not burdened by that. Nobody saw this coming. I put a burger bet on the line where I went out on the line saying they were going to win more than 83 games or more in a season, and even I couldn't tell you that they were going to get the 2 seed and get, you know, to skip right to the ALDS.
No, I think the biggest thing, when you look at this group, and especially in the locker room, in the clubhouse, these guys are together a little over 10 months out of the year. That camaraderie that you build amongst each other, and then on top of that, the work to get to the big leagues. You know, nowadays you have to go through 4 levels typically to get to the big leagues. So you're humbled immediately. And then looking at it as a whole, you say, we've gotten 161 games under our belt. Now it's time to move on to October, which is our month. And they're primed right now and excited. And I'm telling you right now, Saturday afternoon at 1:08 p.m., that place is going to be live.
I think we're live now. I mean, the second the Tigers won that series, I lit up. It was like, okay, it's go time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always go time when it comes to baseball, right? Looking at it,
like,
too.
Like March 31st, you go time?
I'm even before that. Spring training, I'm go time. It's, you know, it's the cut. It's the fresh cut of the grass. It's being in Florida or Arizona when it's gloomy, droomy Cleveland, Ohio in the wintertime. That's when my motor gets going. But this is going to be a fun group to watch. I'm interested to see moving forward how the pitching rotation lines up and how they can get to the bullpen as quickly as possible.
Well, it's just funny. Like, the Guardians are no longer the team playing with house money the most in this because it's the Tigers. No one's playing with house money more than them, and that allows you to play free. In a way, the Tigers are the 2022 Cleveland Guardians, which no one expected to be as good as they were. They topped out in the ALDS, but, like, I think that's where the Tigers are, which is you're the hottest team in baseball. You just beat a division winner. You swept them, and now you go to this series against a team that I want to say your record was 7-6 in the regular season against this year.
Well, and when you look at this group right now, it is a scary situation to have a team that's hot, that just got done off a very good two wins against a decent Houston Astros team that came in playing decent baseball. They weren't at their best, but you also had veteran guys on that Astros team. Now you have a bunch of young kids that don't know what Major League Baseball playoffs are like. So it's new to them. Now you have two wins. You have a veteran manager. You're coming into hostile territory with the guards. For me, I'm going to go back and forth on this all week long and say if the guards want to have either a best of three or best of five series, they've got to win game one.
Yeah, and for me, man, I just look at this and go, I'm not necessarily afraid of the Tigers. The Tigers can be beat. They're, you know, okay, yeah, you're 1-9 lineup. Riding a lot on a very few couple hitters, including Riley Green. You've got an ace. You've got a good bullpen. I don't think the bullpen's as good as the stats say they are. I don't think they're as dominant, although that Bo kid, he's got electric stuff. But, like, so I'm not necessarily afraid of the Tigers. I just know how the playoffs work. If you show any in the series, that's a difference between you getting the ALCS and not. So it's not I fear the Tigers. It is I know how baseball works. And, you know, we do the any given Sunday thing in baseball. In the playoffs, it literally is on any given day, a series can change like that, whether you're better than the other team or not.
Well, and I think that's what's unique about baseball is it's all a matter of starting pitching. If you have good starting pitching and you have depth, it's going to allow you to succeed more times than not. If you struggle to find those starters, especially in a short series like it is, that's going to be the rough part about it. And for the guards to have success, they've got to have their bullpen locked in like they are, but they've got to have their starters give them some depth, give them 5-6 innings to turn it over, and you've got to have timely hitting. That's where I look and lean more so with the guards right now than with the Tigers because they've been there and done it.
Are you more excited or nervous for this series?
As a fan, I'm nervous.
Mm-hmm.
As a player, I'm excited. From a fan perspective, I'm nervous because, like we just mentioned, the house money is gone. You know, you have a team that's hot, and you're playing on the road, so you have no ill will whether you're going to go in hard or soft with those players.
Easy.
Easy, right?
It's a family show, Jason.
Yes. Sorry about that, right? We'll get to that later. But going with it, the Guardians have to make sure that they stay dialed in one pitch at a time like we talk about, playing strong defense and getting those timely hits.
216-474-0092. We are going to be talking about house money to start the show here for the Guardians. But are you guys more excited for this game and this series starting on Saturday, or are you more nervous? I'll be honest with you. I think I'm nervous. I'm super excited. But, man, I got to tell you, there's just something about how quick these five-game series can go. You just saw it in a three-game series. You blinked, and the AL wild card was over for both series. We got a lot to get to today, including the potential return for Nick Chubb, a big loss for the Browns' defense. We got Pete Futek coming up at 4, Ohio State versus Iowa this weekend in Columbus. Trap game. Anybody? Trap game for Ohio State. The 5 at 5, predictably at 5. Big game preview. Doran Dickerson, Sean Pendergast, and James Rapine talk with us about three gigantic games in the NFL this weekend. Scott Braun, host of Foul Territory, will talk with us and maybe talk us down from our nerves here, see what he likes out of this Gardos-Tigers series. But as we get started, are you more excited or nervous about the Guardians as we get you ready for the ALDS? And we will get back into that idea. Is it as simple as the Tigers are playing with house money a little bit more than you are, so that means the Gardos have higher expectations? That's next on 92.3 The Fan. I mean, it looks like, of the American League teams, there was one better team in baseball than the Cleveland Guardians, and it was the New York Yankees. And the reason why I think that is prescient for today is that he also was denigrating the AL Central, which happened to be by far the absolute best division in baseball in the regular season, and now three of the four teams advancing to the ALDS come from the lowly, meek AL Central.
I think for the longest time, the AL Central has always been crapped on. I mean, all day long.
And rightfully so, most years.
Most years, I would agree. This year, though, there is so much talent in the AL Central. They're playing their best baseball right now. We saw it yesterday. I mean, both wild card teams beat up on teams from the East. you know, and from the West. So this is a good division. It's a strong division, and it'll be interesting to see what happens moving forward.
So we were talking about whether the Guardians are playing with house money, and I did put this up. At Nick Wilson says, social media reactions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. So the poll that I put up there is basically what you and I started the show with, which is, are you more excited or nervous about the Guardians Tigers ALDS series? And it's funny because I did fear the Astros more than I feared the Tigers. So this isn't about, I would have felt this way either way. Is it? It's like, I like this team so much, and I have such high hopes for them that when playoff baseball becomes real, it's like you go from, I'm not sweating anything because I don't have anything to play in this wild card round, to, oh my God, I could lose it. I don't really want that because I'm going to stop watching baseball if that happens. Like, that's kind of where we are of like, I kind of need the Guardians to win at least a series to validate what they did in the regular season.
Yeah, and that's going to be a tough play. You have a rookie manager who I think overachieved everything that we expected this year in what he brought to the table. But you also have players that believe in themselves in that clubhouse. This is a very strong team. A lot of people don't give them credit for winning that many games this year and being a two seed outside of Cleveland. If you look at what the national people media say about the Cleveland Guardians, they're underestimating everything that they accomplished this year. To be able to have a two seed and to be able to come in and host a playoff game, it doesn't get better than that. And we all know, being around Cleveland, especially for me, being around Cleveland for a long time now, Cleveland fans are the best. I won't go anywhere else. You can talk about New York Yankee fans in this, and you can talk about Philly fans. The Cleveland Guardian fans, when they show up on Saturday, it's going to be loud and rocking, and the Tigers aren't going to know what hit them.
Yeah, playoff Guardians crowds are so much different.
Oh, man.
You got to experience that. It's different points in the season where there were playoff-type atmospheres there. But it's interesting what you just said. I don't think people realize that the Tigers and Guardians are very similar teams in terms of they are 1 through 26. Both have good bullpens. The Guardians have an elite bullpen. The Tigers have a really good bullpen. I'd give the advantage rotationally to the Tigers because they have Skubal and you don't have a player of that caliber. But like, you start to go like, what's after your one? Very comparable, and you're going to have to get super creative. AJ Hinch calls it the chaos theory, like opener and then chaos, or, you know, three inning starter and then chaos. And they feel like that's a strategic advantage. Well, what the hell do you think Stephen Vogt's going to try and do after you get past Tanner Bibee? And lineup wise, they're kind of 1 through 9, which is what the Guardians, I mean, the Guardians, I think, are more top heavy. I actually think the Guardians have better hitters. If we talk about the top of their ability, from Kwan to Hosey to Naylor, and maybe Lane in there as well, versus like Riley Green and one or two other guys for Detroit. So like, it's almost like, and I said this about the NBA Finals, where it was like the Dallas Mavericks had Luka and Kyrie, but their style was a pale imitation of what the Celtics were doing, which is, we're going to win by jacking up as many three-point shots as we can, and if you take away our superstars, we're you-know-what out of luck. So I kind of feel like, in this case, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to the Tigers, I do think stylistically, it is like it's the same formula, but the Guardians do have more talent. I think at some point that's got to matter. I would imagine that matters in a 5-game series as opposed to a 3-game series, but it sure as hell didn't matter as the Astros were the more talented team in a 3-game series.
So it's going to come up more so now, right? I think when you look at this, the micromanaging side of both coaches is going to really come into play. I like, when I look at this right now, Carl Willis is going to play an integral factor in this series. Being able to line up that bullpen, being able to line up the rotation the right way. And I know ultimately, you know, it comes to Steven setting up the lineup card. But he's going to lean hard and heavy on Carl Willis, that has been there multiple times already. He knows what it's like to be in playoff baseball, especially from a pitching perspective. So when you look at this team, a lot of similarities, right? Payroll, very, very close. They're the two bottom payroll teams right now in the playoffs. So when it comes to that, not a whole lot of money spent on these teams, but they've gotten to the playoffs. They've done the right thing. I'm going to give the edge and advantage to everything for the Gardos. You know, I know you mentioned Skrubal. Yes, unbelievable talent. He's probably going to be Cy Young. But you still have Tanner Bibee, or Bibee. Tanner Bibee right now can match up one-on-one and go six innings. I like that matchup better right now. I know that Scrubel's not going to go game one, but that gives the edge right now to the guards.
You make me want peanut butter whiskey when you say Scrubel.
That's good stuff right there.
That is really good stuff. It has gotten me. I used to make a peanut butter cup cocktail.
Especially right now during October.
We should just call it bottled diabetes is what we should call it, because it is very sweet. Here's the thing. I don't want to be the person, because I think the Guardians should win the series. I also have seen what happens in this town when expectations are not met. And I think a lot of that is we're hungry for more success. Like, I think now that we've got that title out of the way damn near a decade ago, you know, I think, okay, cool, we got to the mountaintop. Now we know we can do it. Now I want to do it again. And so I think Cleveland in general, we've been more desperate for a second title, I think, more than we were for a first title. Like, I think going into 95 and 97, those things stung, but we didn't take it out on the players. You know what I mean? We didn't take it out on the roster. Even 2007 with the Cavs and with the Indians team that fell one game short of going to the World Series. Even 2016. Like, yeah, I mean, maybe that was like when it started, because a lot of people sold their tickets. I don't know, maybe to pay mortgages to game seven. But like, it's been wild to me since the Cavs won a title. And again, this is not a criticism. It's an observation how... And I think the Browns are a great case for this. How when expectations are not met, there's more bitterness now than there was when we hadn't won in 50 years. And I kind of can't wrap my head around it. So that's a long-winded way of saying, it's almost like I don't want to say, like, I expect the Guardians to win, because I think if we all expect it, I do think there's going to be a pushback on this team if they don't do it, because... I think there's going to be a lot of people who now look at this and go, well, you should beat the Tigers, all right? If perchance the Royals end up beating the Yankees, you should beat the Royals. You're better than them. And we know what happens when expectations wilt, or when teams don't necessarily meet those expectations.
So I look at this, I guess, two different ways. The Guards are the better team. I think when you look at it on paper, the Guards are the better team. The Tigers are the hottest team in baseball right now coming into this. They just swept the Astros. The Guards are 4-2 over their last six games against the Tigers, but that was also in late July. So they haven't faced the Tigers when they're at their best right now. So that kind of scares me. And that's why I said, as a fan, I'm nervous about this series. I think the Guards can win this series, but I'm nervous as a fan. As a player, I want to put a jersey on because I know I could compete and probably still beat some guys, at least get one guy out, you know, maybe be the Andrew Miller of the 2024 team.
So I was talking to a buddy who works and covers a team in Detroit, and I was asking him, like, hey, how are they going to handle this rotation? And the outsized thing is it's going to be Scoobal and chaos, which means any game Tarik Skubal doesn't start, you're going to see them either go with an opener and then like a bulk closer, kind of like what I think the Guardians are going to try and do with Gavin Williams in this series. And so I'll be honest with you, if Skubal doesn't start game one, and we actually had a little debate there, I think the Tigers hold him to game two. I do think it's the right thing. Don't tax your best pitcher, because if you get him hurt or if you get him tired out, it's so early in the playoffs to try and start making up, getting him back on his schedule. So it's the right decision. I think it also opens up a window, because if you said an opener and then chaos for the Guardians in game one, it's going to be Tanner Bibee. If you said that, I'd trust it, because they've got five guys that I think can make up nine innings out of that bullpen in game one. I don't think the Tigers do.
No,
I think their bullpen's a little bit fraudulent if you look at the numbers. So I think game one's a real opportunity. You take game one, and I'll be honest with you, then it becomes, how does Detroit respond to the loss? Because that's the thing we don't know. They've been so hot, but they haven't lost in the playoffs. And that, losing the playoffs hits different, because desperation hits you real quick when all of a sudden you're not playing with house money. Actually, that's a good way to put it. I think game one's about taking house money.
Well, and that's where I look at it. I talked about it last week. I said, break it down into innings, right? Break it down in the first three innings, the middle three innings, and the backside of the three innings. So if you're able to, especially being at home for two games, knowing what your rotation is going to line up, you have to give the edge right there to the guards. So if they can go out and win the first three innings, and then in the middle portion, get your relief guys going, and then the back end, we know what the guards are going to have there with Classe, you know, lining everything up. You go into game two up 1-0, that's a huge difference than going into game two being down 1-0 facing their ace.
So I think, and I, for me, they're playing with house money. Like, for me, this has been such a whirlwind.
So you're saying that the Tigers are playing with house money or the guards?
Well, no, I think both teams are playing with house money. I just think the Tigers can be a little more carefree because literally no one is expecting anything of them. So with the Guardians, I think that August actually sets some of the expectations back a little bit. Like, if the Guardians had gotten the one seed and the Guardians had won, I mean, at one point they were on pace for 106, 107 wins in the season. I think house money would have been done in September if they had stayed at that pace. I think because they faltered and you saw, all right, the lineup has some flaws to it and the approach isn't great, because you saw them trying to piece together the rotation, because you saw they were human, I think it brought them back down to earth in a good way.
Well, I don't even think, though, it was just the rotation, though.
Are you saying the bullpen?
No, the rotation. I'm saying the lineup, though, for the guards. They were struggling to find their identity again.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to get it back in September. And then getting Stephen Kwan back. And you know, you look at X factors, right? Stephen Kwan could be that X factor, being that he's healthy, leadoff hitter. You know, he has some experience in the playoffs now. This is a go guy that you need at the top of your lineup to kind of turn it over on the backside.
Does the Tigers' house money cancel out the Guardians' house money?
No, I don't think so, because I guess...
Meaning, are you going to be pissed if the Guardians lose this series?
Oh, I'm going to be fired up. Like, from every perspective, because the house money side of it for the Tigers, they're the sixth seed. Nobody expected them, number one, to be in the playoffs. Number two, now to beat the Astros and come in and be as hot as they are right now facing a team that is expected to beat them. So the house money side of it is, I'm nervous over and over again, and I will be very upset if the Guardians lose this.
I think they're still playing with house money. Just because the Tigers might be a little more carefree and a little hotter, and here's why. The regular season was test one. This series is test two, and every series becomes a different test, but this is a level jump. So, all right, you might be the coldest team in the AL going into this series, because the Yankees are really good in September. The Royals obviously had to play their way back into the playoffs, and then the Tigers are the hottest team in baseball. Cool. Now you got to prove it. So I don't think I can have expectations. I expect them to win personally, but in terms of if they don't win, I'm going to be stomping around like a big hippopotamus. I don't think I can do that until I see them win this series. Then I don't know. It depends on who they face in the ALCS. 216-474-0092. I'm going to give Jason a chance to respond to that. But are the Guardians playing with house money? Do you think they're still playing with house money like we thought maybe in June and July that they were? That and fake outrage in baseball next on 92.3 The Fan. You know, you had said, to hell with that, I have expectations for this team. It's not that I'm leery of turning on this team. Not for me, but I'm leery of everyone's been vibing on the Guardian. It's been the perfect regular season. It has. Like, City Connect uniforms were so popular. Like, I remember going to a game at the end of May, and they had just been released, and it was everywhere. It was a sea of new Guardians merch. I hadn't seen that kind of explosion in, like, new hats, new gear ever. Like, I mean, I can't remember the last time.
You think some of that is because it just said CLE on the front?
I think so. I think it's finally people had, like, it gave the team an identity that people could go to.
They're awesome uniforms.
And even the logo with a very seductive Guardian with
seductive.
Like, you know, because they look like they have, it looks like the robes are just, it like, you know, we're just seeing the top of the chest there. A little, just a peek. Like a wink, not a leer, right? I just think, so you go there, you go to the success. I mean, they drew 2 million fans for the first time in 7 or 8 years. And you know, just so much of the success, how much success they had early in the season. What a fun brand of baseball it was. Steven Vogt's like managerial style is about winning every game. And that's, you know, we got used to the Tito thing of Tito generally woke up in June. And that's not disrespectful. It was he believed in the, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint mentality. So there were so many things going into this that I don't want to put our outlook on a franchise, on a series, no matter if we think they should win or not. Like that's it, some of this is I don't want to see people turn on this team if they don't meet expectations that we never had when the season started.
So if we don't have expectations here, let's say they lose this series. Does it null and void the 161 that they played this year in the regular season? Does it take away the credit from what Steven did as a manager?
No. No. Okay, the devil's in the details, in fairness, but not for me. How about you?
For me, no. You know, when I look at this, what he did and what this group did in the regular season, outstanding. You know, and I would be extremely proud to say, go Guards. Now, going to the playoff side of it, you've got to continue that mojo, though. And this is, I guess, the one, you know, discredit to Major League Baseball right now is they earned the 2 seed. The Yankees earned the 1 seed. Now you're giving this team about 6 days off of rest when the team has been used to and accustomed to playing every day. It's nice to heal up, but you're also losing that mojo, too.
Speaking of mojo, we got to get to ruining some mojo and killing the bit in a moment here, but Dick and Dayton giving us a call here, 216-474-0092. If you guys want to join in. Dick, welcome to the show.
Hey, Nick, how you doing? I enjoy your show. I was just thinking congratulations to the Guardians, but what you said yesterday as you were talking about the leadership on this team of the Cleveland Browns, and I'm thinking that maybe do you change? I don't like his play calling. Because I think we've put Watson in there, and what we need is to have, when we're down there, you run the ball, but I'm just a little bit concerned because the offense, the running game isn't good till we get Nick Chubb back. And I just want to say the Cavaliers, I think, are going to go to the playoffs. So what do you think, Nick?
Well, you gave me a lot to ponder there, Dick. We appreciate you, buddy. I'm going to hang up so you can listen. We got hit with the old bait and switch by Dick there. To start with the Browns, no changes yet. To start with the Cavs, I'm very excited. Any take on any one of the three teams in town there, James?
Well, with the Cavs, I think it's going to be a very exciting season, you know, playing off of what they did last year and maybe going further, you know, than expectations there. Going back to the Browns, you know, we're going to have a lot to talk about the Browns today for sure, you know, playing into this weekend against the Commanders. But getting back to the Guardians, you know, right now, this is a team that the city is going to lean on and hopefully see something play out where we can see them play late into October.
All right, now if there's one caller that can save the show, it's our buddy Jim in Strongsville. What's up, buddy?
Nick, my man, you do a lot of dancing. You made the exact opposite argument for the Guardians when they were struggling and it was coming towards the playoffs. And you made the argument, well, expectations change. It doesn't matter that they didn't have any expectations at the beginning of the year. Now is now, and the expectations are different. Why make the same argument now? Yeah, the expectations are they should go out and beat the Tigers. I get it, the Tigers are hot. You finished ahead of them in the division. You withstood their run. The Yankees, all bets are off if they get that far and play the Yankees. But my expectation is that, yes, they are going to win a series against the division foe that they won the division for, because that's what the expectation is now. It doesn't mean I'm going to think that the year was a failure, but I'm certainly going to be awful salty if they lose.
So here's the thing. I'm just against weaponizing expectations, which I've seen too much. Like last year at 11-6, and some of this is different quarterback, but like no – nobody was getting ready for the Browns this season because everybody was wait and see mode because it was like, well, let's see if they can finish that up. I think too often in this town recently, when somebody fails to meet expectations, we demonize them. I don't want to demonize this team. I want to enjoy this team, even if I agree with. By the way, my personal expectations are the Guardians should win this series, but I just don't want to bang that drum because sometimes it turns into crap on the Guardians.
Nick, I don't think, you know, the people who weaponize this stuff, the people who already had an axe to grind, the people who already can't wait to jump and pounce on the Dolans, they'll be there to weaponize it. The people that hate Deshaun Watson and can't wait to get rid of him, they're going to weaponize that. There's a group of people that I don't care what you do, they've got an agenda, and they're going to weaponize no matter what, because in their mind, they were right, and they're going to be, that's what they're going to say. So, they can't wait to tell you how right they were.
Jim, appreciate you, buddy. Good stuff.
Thanks, boys.
Jim in Strongsville there, 216-474-0092. I don't think we're going to get to the ESPN sound there. So real quick here, we're going to go and try and get Thomas in here. Thomas and Shaker, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Nick, real quick, I just want to say the expectation for the Guardians is completely one of the World Series a bust, because they've been in the playoffs multiple times over the last 10 years. If they do not win the World Series, it is a wasted season. Also, I do not want to lose to Detroit because it's Detroit. I just don't want to lose to Detroit. It's Detroit.
Why are you saying Detroit like that?
Because it's Detroit, man. You don't lose to Detroit, man. This is like a inner city rivalry. It's like, you know, which hood is better or whatever. You know, you don't want to lose to Detroit.
I understand your point. You've got a salient take here. You're saying it like Detroit. It's like a flare on the end of Detroit.
Yeah, it's Detroit, man. You don't, like, you know, it's a cross-town rivals, man. You're like, you don't lose to Detroit. You don't lose to Pittsburgh, and you don't lose to Detroit.
Yanni versus Laurel. You're saying it like three different ways. You're like wrinkling my brain right now, Thomas. We appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much. It wasn't just me, right? We all heard him say Detroit three different ways. At the beginning, he was saying Detroit.
I thought he was losing the D on it, and he was just basically saying Detroit.
You never want to lose the D on it. 216-474-0092. It was there. I took it. I'm not proud of it, but here we are. A big loss for the Browns ahead of the Commanders game. That's next on 92.3 The Fan. Detroit!